More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live in Lansing with the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Excellence Award winner for Best Personality. This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen.
Good evening, Tuesday. Wow, what a day makes. 24 hours and a 30-degree difference. We're in the low 50s now into the 30s tonight. Thanks for tuning in to 1320 WILS. Tonight we'll talk about a train derailment. We know it happened on the East Coast, but could the same thing happen here in Michigan? We'll hear from an MSU scholar and a former Federal Railroad official. Also, the issue of our prison reform, the governor yesterday announcing his plan, but is it the right approach? And is it really going to save us any more money now that we're paying $2 billion a year for our corrections budget? But first, today, a very controversial piece of legislation passing the House Commerce and Trade Committee that would not allow local communities to pass ordinances regarding wages, benefits, and working conditions in their own towns. The sponsor of the bill, Earl Pulaski, state representative from Jackson, a Republican. Earl, great to have you on the program.
And thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Yeah, am I right to say you're not on the committee yourself, the Commerce and Trade Committee?
That's correct. I'm a sponsor of the bill.
Okay, let me play a little audio here, about 15 seconds. This is what happened during the meeting. 30 protesters essentially just jump in on it and almost stop the whole thing. Here's what it sounded like.
Corporate greed, no! Freedom, yes! Corporate greed, no!
What?
Freedom, yes! HB 4052 is bad for me and you! HB 4052 is bad for me and you!
Okay, HB 4052, that is, of course, your bill. What's, well, first of all, the controversy surrounding it, what's your feeling about that?
Well, first of all, Michael, I'm a CPA and not used to the kind of excitement we had at committee today. Normally when I sponsor a bill, it's pretty boring stuff.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, I think this is more boring than what the protesters would have led you to believe today. What the bill would do is to prohibit local units of government from enacting local policies or ordinances with respect to wages, benefits, working conditions, that sort of thing.
Why is that necessary?
Well, because you find in some cases, you might find a local unit of government deciding that it knows better than the employers and the employees in those areas what wages, benefits, and working conditions are appropriate to those businesses. The view of the bill, and my particular view, is that state and federal laws are in place to deal with those sorts of issues, and they would be more appropriate to govern what we do here in Michigan.
Okay, let me quote Councilwoman from Lathrop Village, Kelly Garrett. Here's what she said about it. She says, "One size does not fit all." Her quote continues, "State legislators should not intrude on my community. You don't know what Lathrop Village needs unless you live there." What would you say to her?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree that one size does not fit all. And so it would be appropriate to say that in Lathrop Village or any other local unit of government that might choose to impose particular wages, benefits, or working conditions on the employers in their area are attempting to make one size fit all, when in fact, within Lathrop Village or anywhere else, there are a wide variety of employers, a wide variety of economic conditions that may argue for something other than what the city might impose upon its employers.
Okay, but don't those employers have a voice within that community and that they can make it heard?
Well, certainly that's the case, but you could find that what I would consider a rogue city council might impose something upon employers that in the long run will be detrimental to business within that area because it makes it more difficult for employers to comply when there are different rules that may apply.
Yeah, do you have an example of any ordinances, recent ones, that have done that?
There are not, fortunately, ordinances here in the state of Michigan that would do that, but some cities, notably, I think, San Francisco, Tacoma, Portland, have imposed these sorts of requirements. And I think, frankly, it's a bad idea because you might find an employer in City A who also has a branch in Township B, and they've got to comply with a multiplicity
rules. Does this include deals where a community can maybe ask an employer to hire within their township, that kind of, within their town? Does that include those kinds of deals too?
Yeah, Yes, it would. It would include requirements that that an employer might make upon a local employer for that very reason. Now, quite often, local units of government will say, you know what, we're thinking about giving you a tax break for locating here or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to say, you know, we need to build a street, we need to have a particular playground, we need to build a berm so that the noise is reduced, those sorts of things would still certainly be allowed. But where the local employer were to say, we're going to grant you this tax abatement, and we think you ought to pay this wage level, or you ought to have this paid leave policy, uh-huh, that would be prohibited under this act.
Okay, now you're from Jackson. What are the city officials there said? Are they do they feel like many of these other municipalities do about your bill?
Well, I think many of the municipalities would view this as as an impairment of the local control that they choose to exercise. I get that,
mm-hmm,
but I suppose my rejoinder to that would be, who knows best what to pay in the market? Is the employer in consultation and working with its very own employees, and without necessarily the wisdom of the local unit of government being
okay
in play?
Okay, but you said at this point there's been no real case for needing this. So why present it before there's been an issue?
Well, there have been these sorts of ordinances in other states, and I think it's wise to kind of head this off at the pass so that employers in our state know that that's not necessarily a risk, and so that they can plan for their investment and hiring without this the specter of a local ordinance in front of them.
Talking to Earl Pulaski, state representative from Jackson, sponsor of this bill. Now, is this essentially a pro-business bill then?
Absolutely pro-business, and I think pro-employee as well. The whole idea is to be able to invest and hire in the state of Michigan, and the more barriers we can take down, the better off our state is, in my view.
Okay. And now, has the governor sounded off on this at all?
I haven't spoken with the governor's people, but we believe this to be the sort of bill that makes Michigan the sort of place that encourages hiring and investment. We hope that he will be supportive.
Okay. Part of what you pulled out, though, there was anti-discrimination ordinances. You actually removed that because initially that would not have been allowed also, right?
Yeah, in the original draft of the bill, there was a really quite broad statement with respect to employment requirements upon employers, and that was viewed as potentially at odds with some of the local anti-discrimination ordinances here in the state of Michigan that do exist.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you my personal view is that state and federal law, I think, are perfectly adequate to prevent discrimination, but to kind of avoid a distraction, we did pull out that language. So any local anti-discrimination ordinances would continue to apply.
Okay. And why did you pull that out?
I think to avoid a distraction from what I view to be the important aspect here, which is economic conditions, making sure economic conditions in each of our locales are appropriate to investment and hiring.
This was essentially a party line vote. Representative Andy Shore from Lansing, he's quoted as saying that, quote, this is the most anti-local control bill I've ever I've seen since I've been here. That's what he said. Is that going to be interpreted that way, do you think, by pretty much every local government here in Michigan?
That's the sound bite that we've heard, Michael. I think what I would counter is that if a local government thinks its opinion of what's best for a business is superior to those who run the business, I would respectfully disagree.
Right.
I think the people that decide best about how to run a business are those who have made the investment in it and those who work at it, and not a local politician.
Yeah. And do you think in general local government has been too forceful on businesses?
Well, there are some local governments in Michigan that are excellent and that are welcoming of businesses, and I think you see those areas thriving.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who, regrettably, think they know better than the experts in a business, and those would be the business people who run that business.
Right.
But
you could let nature play out, and you know the communities that aren't friendly to businesses would simply lose out on the business, would they not?
I suppose they would. I think I would be sad to see that happen and sad to allow that to happen if I knew I could do something to help it. And I think this bill does help that.
And State Representative Earl Pulaski from Jackson, this goes to the House now for a vote, right?
Correct. It's in the full House now, and we may see a vote this week.
Earl Pulaski again. Earl, thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir.